is coming again. Praise the Lord. Devil can't stop that. Amen. And signs of the times, they are everywhere. Just pick up a newspaper, and it's just amazing to see. Talking about it in our Revelation class, and Brother Herndon said, I'm becoming a, what'd you call me, a conspiracy, what was it? I don't know what it was. Anyway, he didn't cuss. But anyway, because of the fact there is one conspiracy, all right, and that's the devil hates God. There's the conspiracy. Everything else comes from that, and we are headed for a rocky road. We're talking about Israel, the woman in Revelation 12, and how that Israel is so hated. It's so. Go back in history, if you have the right history books. Amen. Because it's coming out. It's not being printed in most history books today, but you get the right history books, you find out the truth. And Israel has been hated and is hated because Satan hates God. And all the promises are true, though, and Jesus is coming again. And I'm glad I'm on the winning team. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm on the winning side. And we do win. Praise the Lord for that. But folks, honestly, times are tough. The fair ministry, you know, the devil attacks that and always does. And he's attacking Christians. And, you know, we're honestly, the persecution of the Jews, all we have to do is get history books and we see that. How about the persecution of Christians? That's next. We are God's children. We're God's people. And it's coming, and it's close. It's already in other countries. We just haven't seen it yet. But anyway, I can't get on all that. one other announcement I needed to make. The Price Saver Contest kicks off today. Get cards at the Welcome Center after both services today. And so make sure you do that, young people. You had an announcement about that in the mail, I believe. But that does start today, and you can get those cards at the Welcome Center right after the service, and you can sign the petition. Well, kids can't sign the petition, but if you're a registered voter, you can sign the petition. You say, well, I don't want to get involved in anything. That's exactly why America's going the way it is. It's exactly why. I'm not mad at you. I just don't get it. I don't understand. But that's another subject. We don't have time to get on that. Here we have continue our study. For such a time as this, for the year of 2013, and this is a time for service in the month of July. I've been looking at my notes and my outlines and everything, and I really believe this is going to bleed over into August, just a little bit. I just can't help it. But anyway, it is a time for service. We've talked about an obligation for service, the origin of service, the options of service, objects for service, the objective of service. Wednesday night I talked about the outlook of service, which talked about Nehemiah. It's a great work. And that ought to be your outlook, honestly, serving God. I'm happy in the service of the King. You know, it's a great work that we do. It's a great work, whether it's like yesterday, the shepherd's ministry, or helping set up the tent. We had, I don't know how many folks helping set up the tent and folks helping set up RU. And just all kinds of things going on yesterday in serving the Lord. But it's a great, great work. Should have a good outlook on the work that we do for the Lord. But today I want to talk to you about the omission of service. And we have Gad and Reuben here in Numbers chapter 32. And I call your attention to them. The tribes of Gad and Reuben, they want to stay on the other side of Jordan. They don't want to cross the Jordan River. They like the land on the other side. Now, that's a whole other message I don't have time to get into. We have a lot of Christians that are satisfied with the other side, don't care about going over the Jordan River, don't care about a real spirit-filled life and all that. That was Gad and Reuben. I don't have time. I'd love to preach on that. That's one of the reasons, Brother Herndon, that our nation is falling apart, because a lot of Christians don't care about the other side of Jordan. But I'm not going to preach on that today, but I sure want to. But Gad and Reuben said, we just want to stay on this side, And everything's good here. It's quiet here. It's peaceful here. We have plenty of land for our cattle. And we know going over that Jordan River, there's going to be war. There's going to be fighting. There's going to be... See the example? A lot of Christians, we don't want the war. We don't want the fighting. We just want to exist here on this. I can't preach that right now, though. Don't have time. But anyway, they said, hey, it's okay on this side. We're going to stay over here. And we don't want Canaan land. We don't want all the promises God has for it. We don't care about all that. We want to just stay over here. It's peaceful. Hey, you know, no fighting. We'll just get along with everybody. We'll be Burger King Israelites, okay? And we're just going to stay over here. And so the problem is, Moses, no, you're not. He said, you're gonna come over the Jordan, and you're going to fight for your brethren, and they're going to take Canaan. We don't, you know, if you don't want Canaan, that's fine. If you don't want to live there, that's up to you. If you don't want the land that flows with milk and honey, that's all right, but you need to get into battle for your brethren. Amen. That's good stuff. And so this passage of Scripture takes place. Verse 20, Moses said unto them, if, okay, they in 16 through 19, they said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll get settled here for our families. They can stay here, and the men, we'll go over and we'll fight. All right, we'll go over and we'll fight the battle. And so Moses says this to him. He says, okay, if ye will do this thing, verse 20, if, I've got it underlined. And then he says, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war. Okay, underline if. Verse 21, and will go, all of you, armed over Jordan before the Lord until, I got that underlined, he hath driven out his enemies from before him and the land be subdued. So if you will do this and your brethren have the land, all right? He said, good, okay? He said, then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord. Okay? In other words, God said, if you want to live that kind of life, you want to just be on the other side, Cain, you don't want the promised land that God has for you. You don't want everything God has. You don't want the land that flows with milk and honey. You don't want all the blessings God has. Okay, fine. You can live that kind of life if you want to. But he said, you've got to go fight. You got to go serve. You got to serve for your brethren. All right? And the amazing thing, he says this, verse 23, but if ye will not do so. Okay, he said, if you do it, you're going to be guiltless. Okay, I'm not blaming you for anything. You know, that's your life. But he said, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Now, you notice he did not mention murder. He didn't mention cussing. He didn't mention going to the bar. He didn't mention HBO. He didn't mention rock concerts. He didn't mention gossip. He didn't mention bitterness. He didn't mention smoking. He didn't mention marijuana. All right, do you notice that? He didn't mention any of those things. Okay? He just said, if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Wow. By the way, we use that last part of verse 23. I've used other preachers. I've heard them use it for all kinds of messages. Be sure your sin will find you out. If you're drinking, God's going to get you. If you're a gossip, your sin's going to find you out. If you're bitter, and on down the line, right? Done it many times. Heard preachers do it. Truth of the matter is, though, it has nothing to do. That is a true statement no matter what. Be sure your sin will find you out. But in the context, here's what it's about. It's about the omission of service. It's about not doing what God told us to do. That's exactly what this is about. You know, we need to keep preaching hard against the things we do that are wrong. But what about the things that we don't do that are right? And the omission of service, as we talk about service, I could not get through the month without talking about what about what we don't do? Is it all right just to do nothing? According to God, it's not. According to God, it is not acceptable to not do what we know we should do. It's not acceptable. You say, yeah, but I don't, I'm not trying to live a spirit-filled life. I'm not trying to claim all the promises of God. And I just want to get along, you know, in my Christianity. And God says, no. He says, it's not acceptable. You've got your brethren, and there's plenty of things that you need to be doing. Because God knew something. God knew that if you'd get in the service of the king, you'll get involved with wanting to do something for God and walk with God and grow in the Lord. The omission of service. People can't just say, hey, I don't have to do anything. They cannot do it. God says, be sure your sin will find you out. I often think of this, and I think of when I was in Bern, Indiana, and we had the eternal security argument. And that's what I call it. We were in Mennonite country. And I mean, the Amish surrounded us. Mennonite, two very large Mennonite churches. One, I believe, the largest Mennonite church in the United States. And these were solid. I mean, these were the foundation of Bern, Swiss community. And one of the things that their big argument, well, if you sin, you lose your salvation. And I would say to him, okay, well, what's sin? And typically, same old thing, you know, cussing, alcoholism, abortion, you know, all the sins that we always talk about, they'd say, those are the sins. I'd say, well, what about not doing what God told you to do? Amen. Well, no, that wouldn't. And I would always go to this passage and say, my Bible says, ye have sinned against the Lord. I mean, this is pretty major, isn't it? Would it be up there with murder? Well, you know. Ye have sinned against the Lord. Yeah, well, I mean, would it be up there with adultery? Well, come on, preacher. I mean, that's not. Okay, listen to me. Sin is sin. This is clear, very clear. I mean, okay, murder, immorality, stealing. I mean, those are bad, but you know, we think those are the only sins. And then we go our way and think everything's okay. I don't know how many people that I talked to back in Bern, Indiana, and said, when is the last time you made an effort to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you served the Lord in some capacity? And they just kind of stare, and I say, do you know, you are in sin. Did you lose your salvation? Thank God we can't. Thank God our salvation is not based upon our works. Praise God for that, because we'd all be in trouble. Praise God, that's not how it is. But you say, you know, I don't want to sin against God. Then we've got to deal with the omission of service. Not doing what we know we should do. You know, the sins, stealing, immorality, murder, adultery, gossip, all those things. Those aren't the sins that destroy a church and a nation. I think it's the things we don't do that we're supposed to do. That's what's destroying us. Now, these things are destroying us too, don't get me wrong. But the sin of not doing, it's getting us in trouble. It's getting us in big trouble. And because here's the thing, if we would get busy doing what we should do, we would not have time to do what we shouldn't. Do you understand? The happiest folks at Berean Baptist Church are people that are serving God. That's the happiest people. Honestly, always is. You know, the happiest people are those running in the race, not those on the sideline. Amen. You know, people on the sideline, you know, it's a matter of, it's standing there going, yeah, I don't know why he runs that way. Look at how she's running. Yeah, I can't believe they're doing it that way. Yeah, well, you know, I heard that so-and-so, the way they run, and well, I heard that they're doing this, and I heard, you know what? You're absolutely miserable. But that guy out there running, I mean, they're having a good time. Why? Because they're trying to reach a goal. And if people would just get busy doing what we should do, there'd be no time to do what we shouldn't do. I mean, honestly, I kind of watch folks and I think, how do you have time to do that? How do you have time to, you know, somebody said, well, I did this and did that and did this, and it's something sinful. And I think, how do you have time for that kind of stuff? Man, if you'd get busy and serve God in capacities in the church where you can serve God, there's so many ways. See, the question is this, what are you doing? What are you doing? Somebody said, well, I go to church. No, that's feeding time. Going to church is when we get fed so we can do. That's not doing. Okay, there are some people that do. There's nursery workers, they're doing, they're serving. There's junior church, there's Sunday school too. I mean, there are some, obviously there's plenty of service, but I'm talking about somebody comes in and plops down on the pew. You're not serving coming to church. I'm glad you came, and you need to come. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but don't fool yourself into thinking that listening to a message is service. It's not. It's time to eat. All right? It's feeding. Can you imagine? You go to work on Monday. Tomorrow you go to work and you go into your place you work and you clock in. And so now you're on the clock. And then you put your time card in the slot where you always do. And you go back outside. You get back in your car and you drive home and eat breakfast. You say, I don't think the boss would appreciate that. I think you'd probably get fired. But in that same thinking that we do, I mean, God says go to church so you can encourage one another, so you can get fed, so you can grow, so you can get inspired, whatever. You know, God says, then serve me somehow, serve me. You know, and if you do, praise the Lord. But if you don't, you've sinned against the Lord. You've sinned against the Lord. I mean, we'll amen hard preaching on all the things that are wrong, but we get real quiet when we start preaching about what's right and what we should be doing that is right. It's something to think about, the omission of service. So you have your illustration at work. Go home and eat breakfast. Never work. How about in the military? You know, the battle is raging all around, and we're looking for Sergeant Stewart, and Sergeant Stewart or Private Stewart, whichever he ends up being. We're looking for him, and we say, you know, who has seen Sergeant Stewart? I mean, we need him to cover this area. We need him to guard this area. We need this, and oh, he's eating lunch at McDonald's. And so we go to him. We say, hey, look, you're supposed to be fighting a battle here. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm not drunk. He says, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not watching HBO. I mean, is there anything wrong with me eating at McDonald's? Well, actually, there's probably a lot wrong. But no. But what's the problem? It's a sin to not do what you're supposed to do. We have a lot of Christians today who are, you know, hey, I've got a squeaky clean life, but it's a squeaky clean do-nothing life. And God says that's a sin. Again, what is service? Well, we're going to narrow that down here in the next couple weeks, which is why I'm running out of time. But there's so many ways to serve God. To me, prayer can be a way of serving God. Certainly can, but sitting in church, don't fool yourself. Well, you know, I come to church on Sunday morning. I come for Sunday school, Sunday. Yeah, you know. Okay, again, that's time to eat. That's not. That's where we get fed, so we can serve God. Now imagine there's a car. You're in a car wreck, and you call the ambulance. You call 911, and they say, well, there's no one here. Really. Where's the EMTs? Where's the ambulance driver? Where's all the people that are supposed to come and help people that have been in this car wreck? And they said, well, they're out playing miniature golf. And we confront them because, you know, we have injuries and all this. And we say, hey, wait a minute. Well, we're not at the nightclub. We're not smoking marijuana. I mean, we're just playing miniature golf. What's wrong with that? Well, there's only one thing wrong with it, and that is you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You say, preacher, these are dumb illustrations. Yeah, but they're true. They're very accurate illustrations. You say, well, yeah, but that's exactly what God said to Reuben and Gad. You know, Reuben and Gad, if you, look, your life, okay, and we hear this, oh, well, it's my life. Actually, if you're saved, it's not. But okay, if you don't want to cross the Jordan River, if you don't want to have a spirit-filled, glorious life for Jesus Christ, okay, all right, if you don't care, all right. But God says, but you need to go out and fight. You need to get in the battle, and you need to do it for your brethren. Amen? And if you don't serve, he said it is a sin. It is the omission of service. Omission. John 13, verse 17. I love this. John 13, 17. I wanted to preach on this verse, but I just don't think I'm going to have time. John chapter 13 and verse 17. Well, start at verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Yeah, knowing these things is one thing, but happiness comes from doing these things. Again, I'm not thinking of any one specific means of service. I'm thinking of, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do it. I'll sign up. I'll do this. I'll work nursery. I went through the list the other day, just general things. And, you know, I'll do this. I talked about on Wednesday night, you know, picking up trash on the parking lot. And sure enough, you know, right after the service, there's gum wrappers right by my car, you know. And no, I don't chew gum. And, you know, I walked out there and boy, you know, immediately I'm picking up that trash. You say, why? Because I didn't want to get caught. No, because I just preached about it. But no, because I do that all the time. Today, there's trash and driving around, picking up trash on the parking lot. You know, just whatever you can do for the Lord. Why don't we do it? Why aren't we involved? Why don't we do it? Why wouldn't we sign up and help out in serving the Lord? But I'm telling you, knowing, he said, if ye know these things, happy. I thought it was very interesting. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The knowing of those things, the knowing that the servant is not greater than his master, the knowing that there's work to be done and not having a part in it. You know what? The most miserable people in this world are people who know what they should do, but they don't do it. You've been there, I've been there, we've all been there, and it's that way in the Lord's work too. To watch everything go by and to see all the things that need to be done, and even worse yet, to gripe and complain that nobody does it when you're not doing anything. You know, it's the most miserable life to live. It really is. Happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. You say, well, I'm not so bad. But God says it's sin. The omission of service is a sin. It's a sin like lying. It's a sin like stealing. It is a sin. I mean, people are going to hell and you do nothing about that. Nothing. Nothing to help. Nothing to get their attention. Never serving the Lord in any kind of capacity like that. This church, there's such a great opportunity to serve the Lord. I say great opportunity. Opportunities week after week after week. Sign-up sheets and things and RU and the fair and Bible school and soul winning and the shepherd's ministry and just so many different things. And we can't just jump in. Now, again, I'm preaching to yesterday this place was a beehive of activity. Most churches on a Saturday, dead as Job's turkey. In fact, many churches during the summer, nothing. You know, it's like a ghost town. you know, you see the sign out there, the old Western town. And I mean, it's nothing's happening, nothing. But this place is a beehive. I you know, there's folks that serve God. They're very busy. But I guess I'm just concerned because there's some that just nothing. Nothing. Well, you know, I'm making money in tithing. Tithing is not yours. That is not yours. The tithe is the Lord's. You're not making it for Him. You're making 100% and 10% is His. That's how it is. Well, you know, I don't see it that way. That's the Bible. And I don't want to get on that. The point is this, you know, we have this idea. Well, I'm not so bad. I'm not doing so bad. And in reality, God, I mean, for God to take this much effort and to show us Gad and Reuben, two tribes that they're not bad people. I mean, they're doing the things they're supposed to do, except that they said, we're pretty content with this side, Jordan. We're pretty content. You know, hey, we don't want to fight the battle. We don't want arrows shot at us. We don't want people talking bad about us. We don't want all that. Hey, we don't want somebody to make fun of us. We don't want somebody to walk by and snicker and sneer at us. We just kind of want to get by. All right. But listen, you need to fight for your brethren. And if you don't, and if you won't serve, then God said, it's sin. Ye have sinned against the Lord. You know, so many folks will not make any commitments. Aren't you glad that God didn't make our salvation like that? I'm so glad God didn't make our salvation like that. Yeah, what do you mean, preacher? Why, you know, well, you know, I'll die on the cross if everything works out okay. You know, well, I'll die on the cross as long as the weather's right. You know, as long as the temperature's good. Now, I've been praying like everybody else. We wouldn't continue with the humidity and the heat like last week. You know, but. Truth of the matter is, you know, and as we pray, as I talk to God about that, there's two ways to look at that. I mean, humidity and heat makes people thirsty. People run out of money at $5 for a glass of lemonade. And so they come to us for Kool-Aid. Yeah, amen. So there is an opportunity as you sit there sweating. You know, as you open your Bible, you pull your Bible out of your pocket and you open it up and sweat is all over your hands and on your Bible and all that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, rain, snow, tornado, hail. One year we had the hail storm and two people came in because they wanted to get out of the hail and they got saved. I don't know, yeah, my car got dented. Yep, two souls got saved. I don't know. Yeah, we're not in charge of that. We can't control that. The point is, it shouldn't matter. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. No matter what, here's what I'm going to do. I will do this. Okay, so school cleaning day. Put your name on there. This is I will do for this amount of time. I'm going to be there. Amen. I will be there for that. Put your name. Nursery, I will work. Nursery. I will serve in this capacity. I will do this. And just decide to do it. Amen? And then do it. Instead of waiting to see what happens, waiting to see who's going to be there. Yeah. Well, I'll sign up as so-and-so. It's not about, you know, who you can be with. It's about serving God. Can you imagine Reuben and Gad? Well, you know, they're not going to be serving our kind of food. Over on the other side of Jordan. I mean, come on. We want to go where it's going to... They're not going to be talking about things we like to talk about. I mean, we have not heard anything about the Israel versus Arab baseball game. We've heard nothing about that. So to go over on the other side, it just doesn't seem appealing to us. We're going to just... Listen to me, folks. Just say, you know what? This is right, and I'm going to do it because it's right. When sign-up sheets go around, again, time may be a problem. I understand all of that. But so many folks have this attitude, you know, hey, oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. If we had a sign-up sheet, party! Yes, yes. Okay, how about just serve? Serve. Somehow, some capacity, some way, serve. I wish we would believe this book, and I wish we'd believe this passage of Scripture. Okay, that's why I preach it today. I wish we would believe it. The King has told us to serve, and we have a great opportunity every day of our lives. If you were to tithe on your time, you ever think about this? Tithing on our time. We already understand our pay. Well, some do. We understand our paycheck. Tithing on our time. What would that be per day? It's not that hard. 2.4 hours a day to give him. Serve. You say, preacher, this is, you should have preached this tonight, but some of you won't be here. 2.4 hours a day. Now, as I started thinking about that, that's convicting. That is convicting, honestly. Serving God. Wow. Isn't that something? And if we don't serve him, it is black sin, like adultery, like lying, like cussing, like swearing. It's wicked. Matthew 23:23. Watch what it says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Notice what they omitted these things. Jesus didn't nail them for doing wrong. He nailed them for not doing right. And we're so guilty sometimes. But we're not cussing. And we're not drinking anymore. Aren't you glad? Oh, I'm so glad you're not a drunk. And I'm so glad that you're not getting abortions. And I'm so glad that you're not a homosexual. And I'm so glad about all these things that we're not doing. But hey, what are you doing? What are we doing? Can you imagine this morning at 9:30, and typically I'm here, Brother Stewart, what time was I? About 8 o'clock usually, 8 o'clock. But let's say at 9:30, somebody said, hey, where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? And so somebody calls me, and let's say Brother Stewart, he calls his pastor, where are you? And I say, well, there's no beer in my refrigerator. And I don't have any Playboy magazines in the house. Or in the car, or anywhere. See, I got to say that because somebody, well, he did. Anyway, no R-rated movies. We don't have any of that kind of. Okay, yeah, but Pastor, you're not answering my question. Well, hey, I didn't murder anybody. I'm not cussing. I'm not swearing. I'm doing right. And he says, no, you're not doing right. Well, what do you mean I'm not doing right? Well, you're not here because you're supposed to be here. Oh, that does matter, doesn't it? I remember a preacher one time on soul winning night. I don't even remember why, but Brenda and I went and stopped by his house. This was years and years ago. And we stopped by his house on soul winning night, and he was watching a ball game. And it was like, oh boy, he didn't appreciate that either. But now, is it a sin to watch a ball game? No, but it's a sin to not do what you're supposed to do. You say, that preacher, boy, he needs to get right with. Where are you? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I like this illustration. A little boy had never been to the circus. And so his dad gave him a dollar. This was years ago, obviously. And it wasn't our fare because it cost $5. But his dad gave him a dollar to go to the circus. There was a huge parade that was going on, just a gigantic parade. And he's watching the parade, and all the circus people are going through and everything. Just this big parade. And at the end, there was a clown that was at the back of the line of the parade, and he gave that dollar to the clown. Well, he went home, and the dad looked at him. He said, "Son," he said, you are home early." He said, "How in the world did you see the circus when you got home so early?" And the boy said, "Well, yeah, I saw the circus." And so he described to his dad what it was, and the dad said, "No," he said, "you don't understand." He said, "That was just the parade. That was the preliminaries. You missed the circus." You know, a lot of Christians, you're missing the circus. You're just in the preliminaries. You say, you know, Christianity's not so hot. Christianity's not so good. Christianity, but listen to me. You got to get plugged in, because it makes all the difference in the world. Many are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but when it comes to serving, what are you doing? Get busy serving. We're going to have I got a list that I'm working on that's going to have all kinds of different things for people to do, that so that you're serving, so that you can say, "All right, I'm not Reuben, I'm not Gad, I'm in the battle. I'm going to serve." Okay? Not everybody can be Kathy Morin. Okay? Not everybody, mainly because if Kathy Morin's there, she won't let you be Kathy Morin. All right, but I'm just saying, not everybody can do this. Some folks, they're back in the little trailer and pouring Kool-Aid. You know, some folks are giving out flyers, and there's so many different things. But the point is this: to obey God, we have to serve. To obey God, it may be getting on the phone and calling people and being encouraged, not gossiping, but calling people, and it could be any number of ways to serve God. I preached last week about the pounds and the talents in Matthew chapter 25 and the accountability that we have. And you remember the story. They 10 were given a pound each, and they were accountable for that pound. And one gained 10, another one gained 5, and the one gained nothing. Can you imagine if the master came to him and said, "Hey, what happened to you? Why didn't that pound gain? Why didn't you do something with what I gave you?" And can you imagine if he said, "Well, I didn't drink liquor. I didn't gamble. I didn't cuss. I didn't commit adultery. I didn't get an abortion. I didn't have a pierced tongue." You know, all these things that we look at, I can't believe they're doing. I think God in heaven looks at us and says, "I can't believe those Christians aren't serving me." In Matthew 25, the talents, one was given 5, he gained 5 more. One was given 2, he gained 2 more. One was given 1, and he buried it. And the master comes to him and he says, "Well, but I haven't gossiped. I haven't watched HBO. Folks, listen to me. Understand this. God told Ezekiel, be a watchman on the wall. And the blood is not on our hands if we drink liquor or swear or smoke or run around half naked. That's not how we have blood on our hands. The blood is on our hands if we don't warn people. That's the blood on the hands. Hey, watchman, you're accountable." "Well, I'm not gambling. I'm not watching wicked things. But are you warning people?" That's your job. Watchman, Joshua 11:15. I'm just about done. Joshua 11:15. "I am so afraid for our churches and our Christians, that there's going to be a lot of, 'Well, I didn't do this, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and the preacher preached, and I quit doing this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do this, but the question's going to be, what did we do?" In Joshua 11:15, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." He left nothing undone. "Yeah, but when I got saved, I quit cussing. Praise the Lord. And I started talking like a Christian. Amen. That's wonderful. And I read my Bible every day, and that's fantastic. And I pray, and that's wonderful." But the question is, what are you doing for God? America is going to hell somewhat because of our doing, but I think mostly because we're not doing. We're just not doing. Can you imagine standing before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ? And again, it's not a negative thing, the judgment seat, but in your mind, you know, well, I didn't smoke marijuana. I didn't commit adultery. I wasn't a homosexual. I didn't cuss. I didn't smoke. I didn't rape anybody. I didn't murder anybody. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. But what were you supposed to do? Well, I don't know. I don't know of anything. And all of a sudden, every sign-up sheet that came around, you can't sign all of them, I understand, but everyone that ever came to you, wow, I could have done that. I could have done that. I could have done that. I could have worked nursery. Do you know if every lady worked nursery, how we would never have to say we need nursery workers? Now, some can't, I understand. But again, all the ones that could, you know. Well, I just, you know, volunteer to serve. The question is this, with James 4 in mind, is it good to serve God? Who can serve God? Can the lost serve God? We already talked about that in one of the messages. No. I mean, God does sometimes use them against themselves, understand. But who can serve? Who can go man that tent? You know, God's people, right? Do we want the lost to man our tent? No, they would turn it into a cocktail party or whatever. Okay, no, we're going to have Christians in the tent. Amen? All right, so it's a good thing. These aren't trick questions, but they are kind of something to think about. So who can be at the RU booth? Okay, do we want people at the RU booth who are hooked on drugs right now? In fact, they're high as they stand there. Or drunk? No, that's probably not what we. No, we need Christian people who are getting cleaned up. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who we. Okay, so we have just a small group to choose from who can do these things. How about back in the nursery back there? Who can be in the nursery? Do we want unsaved people to come and watch our children in the nursery? No. Do we want unsaved people to come and teach our kids in Sunday school? No. Do we want unsaved people to come and run our bus routes? No. So who can? Saved people, Christian people. We have just a small group to choose from, right? Is it good? Sure it is. Sure it is. Do you know it's good? As every sign-up sheet that goes around, before you even look at it, you just pass it. You know? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It is sin. There is, you know, well, there's so much bad in the world, preacher. You know, you need to preach hard, preach hard, preach hard. I hear it every week. Yeah, you need to preach on this, and boy, this is bad, bad, bad. Okay, fine. I understand all that. But what about the good that we only we can do, and it doesn't get done? You suppose there's an accountability for that? I believe there is. The omission of service is not acceptable in our lives as Christians. Not any of us. Yeah, but I just want to kind of get by. Yeah, do you understand? Service and standards, the two kinds of messages that make people the maddest. Yeah, standards, because, oh man, does that make people mad. But this one right here, there's folks, I guarantee, hair on the back of the neck. Well, don't you understand? My tithe went into the offering plate. And rah, rah, you know, I'm not preaching this for me. I'm preaching this for you. Because it's our God that we serve. It's our God that wants us to serve. It's our God that makes it possible that we can serve. What an opportunity we have here in Adrian, Michigan, to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The omission of service, It is as sinful and wicked as any sin you could ever name. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.